As Congress and the president remain divided on whether to aggressively cut taxes, state houses across the country are facing aggressive budget cuts. At present, nearly all state budgets are in deficit. We spoke with a couple of governors grappling with the math. Michigan's newly elected Democratic Governor Jennifer Granholm is looking at a $1.7 billion budget deficit.
The past 3 years, our state has been spending 17% more than it's taken in. And we used to have a $1.2 billion rainy day fund. We have no rainy day fund now. It is very hard, I think, to make the political decisions to cut.
But the other option to balance the books is to boost taxes, unpopular and unappealing.
I'm not interested in raising taxes. We've been a state that has been pretty overtaxed and has not been as competitive as other states. So I think we'd prefer a state that is lean but not mean. And in fact, I've continued a tax cut that was previously adopted. I think the biggest victim of this budget has been waste and duplication and administrative inefficiency. And we've just tried to think about ways to do it differently.
You've been traveling around Michigan asking people what they think you ought to cut, what they can do without, what they can't do without. Did you base your budget proposals on those suggestions?
You bet I did. In fact, I called it the Bad News Budget Tour. And of course, you might guess that people universally said the one place you should preserve is children and K-12 education. And pretty uniformly, people said if you have to cut, we don't want you to have to cut, but if you have to cut, the first place to go is higher education. But I think that in the same way that we did not raise our tuition, i.e. we did not raise taxes in making these cuts, that the universities are compelled to do the same thing.
One of the complaints of all of the governors has been that the federal government ought to be helping out. Do you think the feds ought to be forking over some money to states like Michigan?
Well, there is no question that states are struggling with Medicaid expenditures, for example. I mean, it's 25% of my state budget, and when you have federal mandates and the states are where the services and the rubber meets the road, this is where real people feel the effects of government policy. You better darn well fund the government policy that you are stating that the states must comply with. So we need help, and we need it in the states, and we need it more than just in the realm of flexibility, which is what the president has said that he would give us.
I guess the newspapers and whatnot in your state have occasionally sort of made a joke of this, that here you are, a woman governor, then the first Democrat in a while, and you're the one who's having to clean up the house.
I often joke that I am a mother and I'm used to cleaning up other people's messes.
Governor Granholm, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you for having me on.
Governor Jennifer Granholm, Democrat of Michigan, speaking to us from her office in Lansing. 1,600 miles west in the Boise State House, legislators are in their longest session ever. They're at an impasse over two-term Republican Governor Dirk Kempthorne's plan to rid Idaho of its $200 million budget deficit. Now, that's only 11% of Michigan's shortfall, but it's no small potatoes when the entire budget is $2 billion. Surprisingly, one measure that has passed the GOP-dominated assembly is a sales tax increase. The 1% raise, what the governor calls a revenue enhancement, came reluctantly, only after the governor vetoed spending cuts he thought too drastic.
There are essential services that government is to provide. One of those, of course, is the education of our children. Also, I'm not an advocate, and I'm not going to be party to the early release of prisoners who are not yet ready to go and join society yet. So, I'm going to add that the bond rating of a state is critically important. If you lose that, if it's downgraded, that can be worth hundreds of millions of dollars to you. Idaho currently is one of seven states that has the highest rating that you possibly can have. You have 15 states that have been placed on credit watch. You have other states that have been downgraded in the rating. I don't want that to be part of Idaho's future. That's not our vision. So I have, when they've cut too far, I have used the veto stamp.
Should the federal government be more helpful to you in times like these? I mean, what about choosing between a tax cut of the size the president wants to make and some funds to help you.
First, let me say I'm definitely not in the category that the states should be expecting nor seeking a bailout. That's not the situation. We're not asking for anything except a good partnership with the federal government. When you have states that are successful, when you have states that are providing the good, essential, basic services, that's closest to the people, and we all say that we want government as close to the people as possible.
Given what you and Idaho are going through now, are there things that you would have done differently during those prosperous times if you could do it again?
Oh, nobody has a crystal ball. As soon as the economists in my state informed me that we were beginning to see our revenues drop below projections, I ordered the first round of holdbacks and have done so every time. That's not a popular thing to do. It's interesting, though. While I have signed measures that cut taxes, provided incentives 49 times, it's like going to a bank and you make a deposit 49 times, but the one time you go in and you ask for a withdrawal, which is a revenue enhancement, the teller's not quite as friendly this time.
Governor Kempthorne, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Linda. Thank you.
Governor Dirk Kempthorne is the Republican governor of Idaho. He's also vice chair of the National Governors Association. He joined us from member station KBSU in Boise.